Hello everyone and welcome to another episode of Crank It Tales. Today's this is an episode that actually comes at the same time as another related episode comes on the Crank It channel. If you don't know, this podcast is basically the side gig of my main gig, which is a YouTube channel called Crank It. It's a motorcycle related channel. And the last video that has just been released on that specific channel is about track days. And more specifically, we talk about how does it feel to go to a track day for the first time ever. I didn't know before, and I went to a track day this summer, like a few weeks ago, or is it a month ago now? Something like that. But either way, in that episode, it's more of a cinematic video. So while there are some cinematic parts and there are some tips and tricks here and there that I did put in the video, I mean, I want these videos to be useful, but that being said, I mean, you can only cram so much into a video that you also want to be like cinematic of that's, I think this one is like 13 minutes long or something like that. So I thought that, I mean, what better way to go into more depth and about this, this experience than actually doing a podcast about it. I mean, here we have as much time as we want or we need to talk about these things. And yeah, basically, we're going to talk about the first track day and what you should do, what you shouldn't do, what I did, what I regret doing, stuff like that. So yeah, let's start a story. Now, the thing is, there aren't really any tracks close to me. Okay, it's a bit of a lie. There is a track that's like 2 hours driving distance from me. But the problem is that on that track, you rarely see any event organized, any track day. And even when you do see something like that, they are mostly car only. So me as a motorcyclist, I'm kind of SOL, shit out of luck. Can't really do anything about it. So the other options, there is a circuit in Hungary. If you don't know, I mean, live in Transylvania, land of Dracula in Romania. But there is a circuit in Hungary, kind of close. But there's also a circuit kind of close to the capital, which is Bucharest. And so I decided to go to that one. So I booked a track day. It was like 70 or 80 euros, something like that. I think it was a really good price for 6 sessions in an entire day. So I booked that session. And yeah, I should have gone. And here is the first mistake. So the track itself is about 6 or 7 hours away by car. And that's quite a bit, I'd say. Quite a bit. Now, luckily, I wasn't planning on riding my bike there. That was not never an option. I mean, luckily, I do own a trailer, since I trailer around my enduro bike, so that wouldn't really be an issue. So I put my bike, my Yamaha FZ6, on the trailer. And I started driving, and I drove around 4 hours to a place where I find accommodation. Basically, in my mind, I thought that, okay, so I'm going to be about 2 hours away from the track. That's not that bad. A two-hour drive, come on, easy peasy. And usually, yes, a two-hour drive is easy peasy. And the problem is that our morning briefing was at 8:45. I had a 2 hour, 2.5 hour drive to get there. So, well, long story short, I had to wake up at like 5 or 5:30, something like that. That's something stupid. And I departed home at 6 or something like that. I mean, I didn't even have time to drink coffee. I mean, I bought a Red Bull from a gas station, but that was sort of my only morning riser. But either way, to be honest, you wake up much easier when you're going to something exciting, when you are really thrilled about what you're going to do that day. So let's say that wasn't the biggest issue. Now, the road went smoothly. I mean, one of the tie downs of my bike almost cut in half, but that's a not important story, I guess. Moral of the story, be really careful when you tie down your bike so that the tie downs don't really rub on anything. But either way, so I got there. Now, regarding bike preparations, I did do some stuff before. Like, I did my research before. I didn't just go in there blind. So I watched a lot of YouTube videos, read like forums, articles, blah, 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 shit like that. So, indeed, there were a few things that I decided to do before going there. So, first of all, I didn't do any oil change or something like that on the bike. I figured, like, the oil in my bike only had about 3 or 4,000 kilometers, something like that. So it was relatively fresh. So I was like, okay, you know what? I'm going to go to a track, and then when I come back, I'll change the oil when I come back. Cool. I mean, I checked my brake pads before. Brake fluid was on perfect level. I checked my chain so that it doesn't have too much slack. That was good. I gave my bike a thorough clean before. So yeah, technically speaking, my bike was flawless. And to be honest, it did behave flawlessly. No errors, no hiccups, no nothing. Started perfectly every time. It cooled down perfectly. It braked perfectly. Suspension was, I mean, as good as an FZ6 suspension gets. Yeah. So technically speaking, my bike was in proper shape. But there were also some other stuff that I actually mentioned in the main video as well. So in the parking lot of my hotel one night before, I went out and I put some tape on the... So I had to put tape on the headlight, on the front turn signals, the rear turn signals, and the rear tail light. So the way I actually did it was I put some really thin, shitty painter's tape first that, I mean, it wouldn't stick for an entire day. And then I put some proper, like, gaffer tape or pro tape, something like that. I don't know, some, like, really properly sticky tape over it. And that was one of the best things I've ever done, because what that allowed me to do was when I went to peel it off, since the bottom layer was the shitty painter's tape, it came off really easily. Like, without leaving a mark, without me struggling, it just easily came off. And that was perfect, like, really well thought. So that's a good tip. Either use some really unsticky tape or use some unsticky tape as the base layer and then add a, like, stronger tape on top of that. So that was the first part. Then I had, I didn't know before, like, I thought I had to take my license plate out. And to be honest, there are a lot of places that do require you to do that. So what I did, took my license plate out, and then just to play it safe so that I won't have anything to do the other day, I decided to take my license plate bracket off as well. Plus, I think it looked a bit better. I mean, yeah, I don't really like the looks of license plates on bikes. I mean, later on, I found that they allowed you to leave your license plate on if you were to tape it off. But I didn't know that at the time, so I mean, it is what it is. It's hey, I don't mind. It was like a 30-second job. And then I think this was mostly... Oh, no, there was one more thing. So you could either tape off your mirrors. But what I decided to do was, since I don't really like the looks of my mirrors that much, I decided to just take the mirrors off. I just unscrewed the mirrors from their brackets on the handlebars. I tried to unscrew the brackets from the handlebars at first, but one of them was really stuck and really stubborn and didn't want to come out. And I was like, okay, you know what? I don't want to get annoyed with this. Tomorrow's a track day. I'm just going to pull the mirrors out from a link above. And that worked well. I mean, if you'd seen the video, there are like two stubby things coming from the handlebars. And those are the beginnings of the mirror brackets. But hey, at the end of the day, I had no mirrors. I didn't have anything to tape off. It was great. And I think the bike looks a bit better. And you have a bit more visibility. And yeah, overall, I'm really pleased with what I did. So this was the preparation. Minor cosmetic stuff. And then just make sure it's in perfect mechanical condition. Tires are really good. I only had like 1 or 2,000 kilometers. They were Michelin Power 5 tires, so really good, a decent sticky tire on it. To be honest, I mean, my skill level isn't anywhere near the skill level, I guess, of the tire. The tire can definitely do much more than I did with it. But that being said, I think that it's never a bad idea to have really sticky rubber. I mean, the stickier you can get, to me, the better. Especially if you don't care that much about how much mileage you get out of a tire. And this was sort of my situation. So yeah, I had the bike prepared. I arrived at the track. I went to get my transponder and actually wasn't aware that you had to pay a warranty for the transponder. They would give you back it back to you at the end of the day, but I didn't realize that at events like this, I should probably have some cash on me. I didn't realize it. It never went through my mind. So, yeah, basically I left them. I should have left them like 50 RON, 50 LEIs in my local currency, but I only had like 13. So I left them those 13 and they gave me the transponder. Everything was fine. I mean, of course I gave it back by the end of the day. So I bought a transponder on my bike. One really cool thing they have, and maybe you should ask when going to a track day, they had a timing system from MyLaps, and they had an app called MyLaps Speed Hive integrated. What that would allow you to do is basically you would just enter the app, search for the event, and then you would see a live timing of yourself. So you could see lap by lap how were you doing in every single one of these laps. You could see how others were doing, like leaderboards on based on groups and stuff like that. Everything was really neat, really nicely organized. You never had to go to any sort of monitor or screen and wait for your name to pop up with times and stuff like that. No, you had everything right there on the app. Handy, it's a really nice system. So, I mean, make sure to ask your track day organizer if they offer such a service. I mean, when you're at the beginning, lap times don't really matter that much. But that being said, they can be a great motivator. I mean, just to imagine, the best lap of my first round was 2 minutes 28 point something. My best lap ever, which would happen in I think the fourth or fifth round, was 3 minutes. It was 2 minutes 20. So I shaved off 8 seconds between my fastest lap in the first session, my fastest lap in the fourth or fifth session. So to me, that was a huge progress. What it showed me was that I was doing better. And another thing actually supporting that and also encouraging is the fact that basically I saw that my lap times were getting more consistent. Instead of having one really fast lap in one of the sessions, I started to get all my lap times around the same mark. And that's good. That's always good because that means you're consistent and that means that you're learning stuff and you're starting, the things you're learning, you're starting to slowly become instincts. So that's really good. So yeah, this is how the timing went. So then we start the sessions. I mean, I'm not going to go through every single one of the sessions, how it went, because there's no point. But basically, the first and last session were 15 minutes long. And the middle four sessions were 20 minutes long. 20 minutes is, especially when going to a track day your first time, it's plenty. Listen to me. You might not think that 20 minutes of riding is much. But when you start hanging off the bike and stuff like that, and just moving around it a lot, 20 minutes feels like a lot more than 20 minutes. But yeah, so the first sessions were a bit crowded, actually. And so I was in C group. There were three groups, A, B, and C. A being like pros, B being the middle ones, and then C being the newbies, which were ourselves. And actually, I'm really proud that I was only 5 seconds away from moving to the other class, to the intermediate class. My first time, I'm wow, that's amazing for me. That's mission accomplished, that's for sure. But the sessions themselves were good. I mean, you can see the video that I did. I was becoming faster, was maybe learning stuff from other people, from my neighbors, I guess, because the way we parked the cars, we were like rider next to a rider, next to a rider, stuff like that. And so basically, in between the breaks, you were basically socializing with other people around you. And yeah, that's exactly what I did. I mean, I had some car neighbors around, and we talked, and they gave me some advice. I didn't really give them much advice, because, I mean, my first time ever, what you expect? But they gave me some advice, and it was some actually pretty good advice. And, I mean, instead I returned them, I borrowed them some tools, because they wanted to need to change some brake pads or something like that, or to stretch the chain a bit. Minor stuff that you do, like, sort of on the track side between sessions. I didn't have to do anything like that technically, but that went all good. So basically, the sessions went on pretty well. It was really hot outside. So this track is basically in the middle of an open field. There's no trees wherever. Like you look to the left, to the right, front, back, doesn't matter. It's just a plain field with nothing on it. No trees, no shade, no nothing. So you can imagine the sun being out. It was boiling hot. Like at 6 p.m. when I jumped into my car, I think on the dash I had like 32 degrees outside or something. Something ridiculous. This was like 6 p.m. I was in a full leather suit. Full black leather suit. Speaking of leather suits, actually, that's a short topic I want to touch on. When going to a track day, a lot of track day organizers do demand some specific equipment. First of all, is a leather racing suit. Now, it can be a one-piece or a two-piece, basically where the pants are separated from the jacket. But the two-piece one has to have a zipper that connects the jacket and the pants. So those have to be leathers. Then also some leather boots that are mostly racing oriented, so you can't just show up in regular boots or, I don't know, sandals. I mean, helmet, of course, any helmet goes. Most organizers don't request this, but it's really good to have some proper, like, gauntlet-style leather gloves. And yeah, after that, you're good to go. So this is a short sort of parenthesis with related to gear. But yeah, the track day was going really well. Until we should have started our fifth session at one point. But they never announced it, and nobody was on track. So they announced a delay of like half an hour. We're like, okay, I mean, hey, we got a bit of an extra break. It's really hot outside. Half hour isn't bad. But then after that half hour, the organizers announced another delay that would have been around 1 hour. So by this point, we were just waiting an extra hour and a half, extra from the usual hour between sessions. So it was obvious that something happened, you know? So when the last hour was going to expire, the organizers called us again, and they basically called everyone that was participating at track day. They called us to another briefing. So, I mean, we went there. And basically, what had happened was this track day basically had three groups of cars, three groups of bikes and one group of cars. And so one of these cars had an oil leak in their oil pan. Now, all the referees, like this happened like right at the beginning of the track. The referees kept signaling them and black flagging that car to stop because he was spreading oil all over the track. But this guy just didn't fucking care. He was out there. He didn't look left or right. He wasn't paying attention. Even when he saw the marshals, he just decided to ignore them. So he did one full lap with oil pouring out of his car. And I think the way that the oil pan was fractured was in such a way that basically the oil would only drip when he was taking right turn. So it was probably somehow fractured in the upper left section, so that only when oil was thrown to that section, for the upper left section of the oil pan, so that would mean you would have to turn right, only then it would spill on the ground. And then this guy exited the track after a lap of these shenanigans, and decided to put his car on a trailer and show the middle finger to the organizers and just left. I mean, long story short, this guy was banned. He's like banned for life from that circuit. Obviously, like you can't be such a douche. At least apologize afterwards. That's the least you can do. But no, this guy decided to just show the middle finger and go. But what this meant was that basically every second right-hander had a big oil drip through it. And it was exactly for the racing line. So exactly where you don't want it to be. So the organizers had spent quite a bit of time cleaning that off. Like way more time than anyone should have. But so they called us and were like, okay, look, we managed to clean the important bits of the track. There are still some bits that we marked off with cones. Be really careful. I mean, we can't hold you here until tomorrow. And look, you paid for this, so you'd better get your sessions in. But be really careful. So with that in mind, we went, and basically the last session was, we weren't chasing lap times any longer. I mean, I was pretty tired, to be honest. But at that point, lap times didn't matter. It was just more of a, okay, let's figure out some better technique. You can't talk about breaking points because those change slightly, because the trajectories change slightly, but I tried a bit more of my leaning technique and stuff like that. So yeah, here's how one idiot can basically ruin the day. And luckily, this happened towards the end of the day. And it was so late that at that point, I had to drive an hour, 2.5 hours back to my accommodation. So I decided, okay, you know what? I'm going to skip the last session. Screw this. I'm just going to pack everything. Because until I'm going to pack anything, everything, put the bike on the trailer, drive all that way, and yada, yada, yada. It would have taken such a long time that I didn't want to like deal with it. So I left one session early, basically. But yeah, this is how... The lucky thing, I guess, for us was that this incident happened towards the end of the track day. So I managed to get like 4 clean sessions in. That was really helpful. I mean, I can only imagine if this wouldn't have been the case and if the guy would have like filled the track with all in the beginning, that would have been such a pain in the butt. I mean, such a disappointment to have paid this money, to have come all that way in order not to be able to properly and fully enjoy the entire track. But yeah, this is how my first track day went, and I guess some a bit of bloopers that couldn't have made it into the video. Be sure to also check the video on Crankit. So the video is called "Here's How Your First Motorcycle Track Day Is Going to Go." Search for it on Crankit on YouTube. You can find it over there. Also, if you enjoy this type of content, please give it 5 stars on Apple Podcasts or on whatever podcasting platform you might be listening this to. You might be listening to this. So yeah, keep this in mind. Keep in mind, we also have 2 other social media accounts. We have an Instagram one and a TikTok one. So the TikTok is crank.it and then the Instagram is crank_it. So that being said, yet again, I need to plug my video again. So please make sure to check out the video on YouTube. It's been a lot of work dumped into that. But it's been a lot of fun. Track days are really fun. It actually made me start to wonder if maybe I should sort of get a super sports bike. Maybe slowly convert into a track bike. I don't know. I already have a lot of like plans and ideas for bikes I want to get, and this is just an extra one. But never mind. We'll see. I mean, if something like this would happen, it would probably happen over the winter. So definitely gonna keep you updated on my track build. For future track days. But yeah, if you have the opportunity to go to a track day, please do it. Go. You're not gonna regret it, I swear. It's an amazing thing to do. It's safe, like reasonably safe. Definitely the safest place you can go fast on. So yeah, 10 out of 10 would recommend. And if you all happen to be from Romania, I recommend Motor Park Experience at Transylvania, at Motor Park in Adâncata. That's where I went to a track and it was really good. The organizers were good. Everyone was nice. Thoroughly enjoyed it. So if you have the chance to go to a track day, please do it. It will definitely change your riding style and it will probably change your outlook on a lot of things and especially about what going fast actually means. Thanks a lot for listening to this podcast. This has been Cranky Tales and we've been talking about your first ever track day, or to be honest, my first ever track day. And it's definitely not going to be the last. So thanks for tuning in. Make sure to follow us on the other social platforms, Instagram, TikTok, and most importantly, Crankit on YouTube. See our latest video. And that being said, see you or talk to you next time. Hopefully it won't be such a big break, but yeah. Talk to you next time. Have a lot of content coming your way. See ya.